It's awesome to have Ash on the Antidote for a Talk. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Now, I have to admit that I do ask this of every artist, but I want to hear your story. What was it that drew Ash into making music?
Well, my parents are musicians. My mom sings and plays piano, and my dad plays guitar phenomenally since he was very small. And they were making an album when I was growing up, so I just had music probably running through my veins, and I always was the one reading the CD inserts for the lyrics as I'm singing along in the car, and just really enjoyed singing. But truthfully, my first, you know, dream was to become an actress. And when I was a freshman in college, I was doing some modeling and I was answering some casting calls and doing some different things here and there in the local entertainment industry, such as like independent films. And I came across this opportunity. I'd been hanging out with some local people who had a studio set up, and they told me that they had Nicole Scherzinger, who was going to come and, you know, do this collaboration with them. And then kind of last minute, she bailed, and they were like, "Oh man, we already have the studio." And I said, "Oh, well, I sing." And they're like, "Yeah, right." I was like, "No, I love to sing." So I went to their studio session and just kind of filled in, and they handed me this track that I didn't really like. It wasn't really in line with any particular genre that resonated. And I said, "This isn't really my style." And they said, "Well, this is what we're looking for." So I took my headphones and the CD that they had burned, a little Walkman, into the other room. And about 20 minutes later, I had come out with some lyrics written down, and I got in the vocal booth and I recorded all the parts. And then I was like, "Oh, can we put some harmonies?" And did the harmonies. And 30 minutes later, we had this whole song with all these harmonies. And I just remember stepping out of the booth just elated. And I looked around, and the guys were looking at me with their jaws dropped. They were like, "There's no way this is the first time you've ever done this." And I was like, "It was." And it was amazing. So I got the bug after that, you know, and I really enjoyed it. And I just started pursuing any chance I could to write and collaborate in people's, you know, home studios. And I got connected with some really nice, sweet guys that had music industry experience in Louisville, Kentucky, and was recording with them for a few months before I really started chasing a dream, if you will.
How long ago was that?
That started in 2007. And then the rest of the song, like kind of my first little catalog, was created in 2009, I would say, like I said, with those nice guys that I got to work with for a while. And then 2010, I was on the road, you know, chasing opportunities and kind of trying to make something happen.
Well, let me tell you that Feel the Love was the earliest song of yours that I could track down. But what song was actually the very first, the one that you were mentioning?
The very first, yes. So it's called This Music, and it was a collaboration with a group called Cash Crop. They're like white rappers in Louisville, Kentucky. And it was just fun and funny. And you know, it's actually on my YouTube. I have kind of, how would I call that? It's kind of, originally I went by the name Ashley Christine. I mean, Facebook was brand new to me, you know, so I was kind of the only one. And then at some point down the road, I realized that there's 100 Ashley Christines, and one's a photographer and one's a painter and one's an artist and there's another singer, you know? And so I ended up choosing an artist name in 2017, I believe. But up until that point, if you look up Ashley Christine, and it's also on my Ash YouTube channel, it's kind of like I think the playlist is called My Story of Songs or something, but there are about 40 old songs that I never distributed to Spotify or Apple. They're just maybe on SoundCloud only, but I really was afraid to put them out because I just didn't feel like they were good enough, or that I thought that putting out music, you know, on a place like SoundCloud might hurt my chances of getting some kind of a label deal. I had been working with the manager for a while, and he kind of made me feel like nothing was quite good enough. And so, so it took a while. It wasn't until 2020 that I was like, I am releasing all my songs from Song Prison. And I didn't release all of them, but all of the ones that I felt like were of any quality that people could, you know, definitely see my growth. And there's probably still 40 or 50 songs that I may never share or that I might re-record at some point in time. But so, yeah, they're out there.
Well, Feel the Love must have been important to you. After all, it was given a few remixes.
It was. That was a really fun time when I created that song in LA with a couple guys who were really focused on making dance music. And it was the first song that I had that really felt like this new happy energy, whereas everything before had kind of just been like sad and heartbroken. And there was definitely like some, you know, hope in those songs and perseverance or whatever, but this one just felt light and it made me want to share it with people. And over time, I had gotten the stems so that I could try to remix it. And I was connected with some local record labels through the Miami Music Festival and Miami Winter Music Conference and things like that. And yeah, I was so pleased when somebody not only wanted to remix one, but two. And then the guy who was mixing those remixes, the final, said, well, let me get one too. So it turned into three remixes on one release. And yeah, I think it's a great song. And I'm super happy about the remixes as well. They're all a little different. And I have my favorite, but I'll never tell.
At least you have been honest enough to admit that you've probably got 40 or 50 songs back in your vault that you've never released. And now I've done some searching and I found that you have actually released a huge number of songs. And I mean, I do mean huge. Does that mean that songwriting is easy for you?
I definitely feel I have a gift for songwriting. And when the flow is right, you know, if the energy is there and I'm clear and you know, there's some elements that need to kind of be in place for that. But many songs have come fully written in less than an hour, if not less than 30 minutes. That's always really fun. And that usually is also a collaborative situation where when I'm working with a producer, we're pretty much starting from scratch. So either a funky bass line or some cool drums, and or maybe I'll jump on the keyboard and give them a little progression. And it's like as they're building it, I'm fiddling with the melody and the lyrics. And by the time they're like, what do you think of this? I just like, okay, turn on the microphone and I go sing it, you know, and it's I just love that process.
Then how do you feel about those songs? Is it the lyrics that carry them?
Yes. When you say those quick songs, absolutely. It's a feeling of expression. It's like it's a moment. It's a ray of light. One of the songs that was the case for was called Runaway. And it was recorded within about 20 minutes. And we actually used the original recording of, you know, the original track that I just sang as a kind of a demo, or we would call that the scratch track, because we almost never keep that track. We just scratch it. It was just to hold the place for the idea. And we actually ended up using it for the main. But the theme of that song, I had really been delivered from what I felt like was constant running. So even though the lyrics are saying I'm running away, it resolves in the bridge to I found a place where I can be myself. I found a place where my dreams can come true, you know, in whatever way God's going to work that out. So when you've experienced something and it's really in your heart and you've been able to articulate it in song with visual imagery, I just get really pumped about that, and it makes me happy.
Then does having strong lyrics make the music secondary?
For me, I think they go hand in hand, because the music is what helps draw it out of me, even though we're creating them both at the same time often. So very much in that way, it's my collaborator, right, who's really co-writing with me, even though I only do the lyrics and the melody and they really only do the arrangement. They might have an input here and there, but it is very collaborative. And if we were to change the music, then certainly the melody and the lyrics would have felt and been different as well. So it's really, it's like one of those infinite possibilities that when you just finally land on something that works.
Now, at least in my view, I think the current era of Ash began with Mood. And the song says, if we turn out the lights, we'll keep dancing all night. It's the start of a fever. Let's make you a believer. That song makes it sound as if you're a passionate person.
Yes. And that song is, it's really just made from a very light and fun place of like, let's just have real connection. And it was my first song released solo. And I really was focused on doing songs that were more dance forward and remixable primarily, and being able to get in that scene. I found some really interesting connections at that time. And so I kind of had fallen in love with not just dance music, but dance and understanding how good it is for my body, my mental, my health, like this expression. And I'm not a great dancer by any stretch, but it actually made me want to take dance lessons. It's a really fun part of the art, I think, of being an artist, is to be able to not only express through lyrics, but to express through movement. And yeah, in the song, like I said, it's kind of just a fun and light song about connection. So yeah, it's like, let's just bring back the freedom of really what I feel like the release that dance can give you, you know, when you just let your inhibitions down. Like it's the cliche, dance like nobody's watching, but that does something for your body physiologically, and chemicals from your brain, you know, it's it gives you good, I don't know if it's endorphins or what kind exactly of happy hormones that it gives you, but it does give them.
And being able to dance on your own means that you don't have to pay to go to the gym.
That is so true. Just because you said that, I'm going to tell you that during COVID, I mean, Miami Beach was absolutely gorgeous because it was basically vacant, except everybody was staying in their apartments. And when they finally opened up the beach walk, you would see people running and biking and doing all their things. And I was just like, nobody's smiling. I would just go down the beach walk with my headphones and just dance down the beach walk for 30 minutes out and 30 minutes back. And that was just the best workout. And it made me so happy.
So I asked you about being passionate. What's your number one passion in your life?
I would say relationships. And I say that because I've gone through some self-discovery and searching and my purpose and different exercises, you know, over the last decade of various aspects of life. And one of the exercises was getting down to your why. And as you just go, okay, well, why are you doing this? Okay, but why? And you keep asking until you get down to the very bottom. And for me, I think it boiled down to relationship. And my favorite relationship is the one that I have with God, with Christ, and with the Holy Spirit, you know, which is in myself. And I love that because it's always with me and I can be my 100% transparent, true self, including with all my faults and acknowledging that, but that there's always on the other side, tremendous grace and love and power. And I feel that in my life, I get to reflect that. I get to experience and discover it more and more, but then also once I've experienced and enjoyed it for myself, I get to do it to others, right? And use what mm-hmm. I've learned on others and give the same grace that God's given me to others. Life transformations come from relationship, and God does his best work through people.
I do want to hear straight from you, Ash. What kind of a message are you wanting to deliver to your fans?
That's a good question. I don't know that I've ever considered it in that exact way, but maybe it'll string together as I discuss it. So inspiration, perseverance, empowerment, love, and faith. These are the main ingredients, I think, of my songs. So from songs like Hope on the Horizon or Cool to Be Kind or Limitless, the messages are really about keeping focus, right? And for me, my focus is on Jesus. And that's how my faith is strengthened. And if anybody's ever going to ask, oh, what does your song mean? You know, a lot of them are pretty self-explanatory, but my hope would just be that when people are enjoying the music side of it, the lyrics are also sinking into their subconscious and empowering them and reminding them, like, I want some of these words to become an earworm in their mind. Like the song called On My Way, it talks about struggles that we all go through and challenges, but the position and the angle of the lyrics are saying, but I'm on my way. And no matter what happens, I'm going to keep going because I'm on my way, you know? So I guess I don't have the elevator pitch of what my message is through my music, but it's really an expression of my own growth and trying to share it in such a way that it encourages others to walk in their growth.
Well, I find that your message, you know, sometimes hints at faith, but it's not overt. You know, you hear a bit of that on Hope on the Horizon, but that faith view, as I mentioned, is sort of veiled. Can that make you both popular in the mainstream and the Christian markets?
I don't know. I don't know what, let's call them gatekeepers, will allow or approve or disregard. But if I get the opportunity for commercial success because of the quality of music, then I hope that a platform will come also, and interviews like this one would be able to at some point illuminate, you know, the character behind what these songs are for. I guess my hope would be that It's family friendly music, right? And maybe somebody would split hairs and say, well, these 10 are family friendly, but those two are a little risque. Okay, that's fine. I'm not going to judge myself or my music of that way. It's really art and expression. At the same time, I am a little judgmental of music generally because I'm an artist, so especially mainstream. And I just don't like a lot of the messages that are out there and the way that especially young women, it's sad to me sometimes the way that we sing and sing along about relationships or heartache or priorities in life. And so even if my songs haven't yet come straight out and been worship or praise songs or talked about the struggle of my faith, I hope that they do reflect the truth of my life, which does have that in it, and which I feel like we can all relate to, even if we haven't come to a point where we're comfortable articulating faith in our life, right? Or God's role, or where we are in our journey, or discovering our purpose, and that just even the boldness to be able to talk not just freely, but articulately, like I said, about my journey at this point has come with time and grace and wisdom and experience and time. So yeah, I think it's okay. And maybe there will be a shift in the future, or some crossover as well. And especially as I continue to create new music, I will always think about how is this reflecting where I am now in my journey? And I certainly don't want to make anything that would offend anybody, but at the same time, I can't worry about that too much.
Realistically, you don't have to be worrying too much about the gatekeepers because you're doing this as an independent artist. But it's got to be difficult to also be handling all the administrative and marketing stuff on top of creating the music.
Oh, you saw that too?
That's what I think. But
Yeah.
you can tell me I'm wrong.
Sometimes, yeah, no, sometimes I feel like I'm 90% executive administrator and 10% artist.
Isn't that unfortunate?
It's not a good feeling. It's unfortunate, yes. Or is it just what it is? It's challenging. We'll call it that. Let's don't call it unfortunate. Maybe I'm actually fortunate that I do have control and that I'm not controlled by someone else. So I actually get to do all these things. But it is a lot for one person to do. And it does require teams of people and it is expensive, contractors, and you want to make music videos and you want to promote to radio and content. My social media is just, barely alive because sometimes just the last thing that I want to do, even though it's maybe the most impactful thing that I can do. But I'm just wired differently. I'm like half executive brain and half music creative brain. So I'm one of those people that can do both. And up till now, I haven't found anybody to partner with to share those responsibilities outside of hiring them for collaborations on specific pieces of the projects.
Well, I feel your pain about social media because that I find to be the biggest struggle in my life. Now, you did bring up the song earlier, Runaway, and I find that's true of many of the songs from Ash, is that they speak about life problems. Would you say that your life has been a struggle?
I would say it has been sprinkled with struggle. Yes, it definitely has had peaks and valleys, and I'm not sure that the peaks outweigh the valleys yet. But I will say that since about 2017, it's been on the up and up. And the reason that I would say it's been full of struggle, I grew up in a Christian home and a Christian church. I went to a public school for high school because I was just kind of tired of the small school. And I just kind of lost my way when I got into college, but I was really pursuing all these different things, business ownership, and like I said, acting and singing. And I bought my first house very young, and I just ran out chasing my dream. And I did not consult with God first about, are these the right people I should be going with? I have gone in and out of the church from graduating high school to my late 20s, that I would come into a really great place of growth and faith and really learning about faith and the Holy Spirit and the power of God in my life. And then I would kind of run down some tangent, like just completely flying by the seat of my pants and find myself in situations. There was a point where I really didn't have a lot and I was kind of bouncing around with some other artists and manager and we did not have a plan, and we were basically surviving on like the dollar menu from McDonald's for a couple months, you know, I mean, but there have just been these cycles, and I had relationship problems for sure. I mean, I definitely was trying to compensate and not really understanding, you know, some of the subconscious behaviors that I had, and that I was actually perpetuating continual poor relationships. And I was choosing wrong part. I was choosing to hang out with guys who didn't even share my faith. So that was the first dumb thing. So, I mean, I was just really being a knucklehead myself. And then I was dating other knuckleheads. So, and I was just finding myself, you know, in all kinds of trouble. I mean, thank God that I didn't totally mar my reputation. It's amazing what God's grace can do, and that I've come out seemingly unscathed and with a tremendous amount of growth and positive reflection to take from it all. But yeah, I could definitely take some snapshots of my life that you'd be like, wait a second, tell me about that. I'm not going to today, but we could focus on the more positive side, which is really where I've come from, that it does affect how I write because I have the contrast now.
I find that On My Way is a song that really does tie into Runaway. And that song begins in the line, I'm trying to walk through a city with lots of streets and no signs. And now I'm wandering freely because the direction is mine.
Yeah.
It does make it sound as if you always want to have a happy ending.
Yeah. Well, don't we all?
True enough.
And then at the end of the day, we all know that the journey itself is the thing, right? It's not the destination. So how often do we have to just remind ourselves that? And I think On My Way is really about grace. I shouldn't have been in a city with no signs, taking the direction on for myself. I shouldn't have, you know, had certain experiences. When I say shouldn't, I mean, who's to judge, but our consequences have actions, you know. And in the second verse, it says misconnections, lost directions, confrontations with the law. You know, it's stuff happens, life happens, and you're like, whoa, how did I get here? But I'm on my way, you know, and I've always been perseverant and a really hard worker. And I think that's gotten me through a lot of challenging situations that I've found myself in. I mean, I should just give credit where it's due. I have great family and parents and friends, though they may be kind of scattered and collected along the way. And I'm not particularly close with anybody in my family. Like, there are challenges in every family, and there are definitely situations when you look around in your family that you're like, wow, we all have our own struggles. What I've realized in the last year or two, and just it keeps being reaffirmed for me, is that nobody gets off easy. Like, we all are going to have some set of challenges that is just going to really drive us nuts in some way or another, right? So I'm grateful for the challenges that I have now as opposed to the ones that I had then.
See, you're being realistic about it, because so many, as they come to Christ, expect an easy go of their life, and it's not that way.
No, because he's got to do some work in you until it's finished, which is essentially probably the rest of your life. So, and I think, you know, the sooner that you're willing to let him do his work in your heart and in your mind, the sooner you'll see the fruit of that and really experience a life of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and all the great fruit of the Spirit, you know, and start getting those verses and those promises in your heart and in your life, where you're able to actually speak power over the circumstances and over the people around you, and to speak life and really begin to see how God is moving through you because of your obedience. So yeah, it's not easy, but it's, you know, it's, you only have to go one day at a time. So that's good.
Yeah, for sure. One thing that you and I haven't chatted about, and that's your music style. Has synth pop always been your kind of thing?
I don't think so. I definitely feel influenced by soulful vocalists such as Sade, Stevie Nicks, John Legend, Alicia Keys, and then really like 70s music that my parents listened to. So I'm married and my husband's a little older, and he's always like, how do you know this song? How do you know this song? And I'm like, I grew up listening to this song, you know, which is actually quite nice that we share a love of classic music. But as a teenager and in my 20s, I knew it was pop, but I called it pop soul. And it wasn't until 2017, first went to Miami Music Week. Mm-hmm. I got really fortunate to meet some cool people and kind of get tied in to some interesting networking events and meeting the different artists and hearing the music that was popular. And I just honestly hadn't ever listened to dance music. And so I thought, this is fun. If I can make music that allows me to sing and dance on stage, then I'm actually feeling good, expressing myself and getting my workout all at the same time. And it could be remixed and remixed again and remixed again. I just felt like, wow, this just seems kind of like a no-brainer. So I kind of upped the BPM and the tempo. And by then I was already really had undergone a lot of spiritual and emotional transformation as I continued to try to grow. And so I was already arriving in a new perspective. And I thought, oh, this is also perfect for dance music because you don't want to dance to sad music. You want to dance to empowering music.
No, you can't dance to a minor key. Now, I'm not sure if one Ash song is actually being entirely honest. Always is a love song that says, I want to tell you that I love you every hour. I want to kiss you when you're sweet and when you're sour. Now, are you telling me that you never make your husband sleep in the garage?
Well, we're just coming up on our 1-year anniversary. And when I wrote and recorded that song, thank you. That song, I wrote it in 2022. We started dating in 2020. So we were a year and a half in. You know, we were still goo-goo, gaga. And we hadn't even had an argument yet. But I was just gushing over him. It was another less than 15-minute song. I wrote it, I think it was the day after Runaway. And it was so funny. I thought, he was like, oh, do you want to do a bridge? I said, no. I said, all I need to say, all the words are there. That's the entirety of how I feel about this wonderful man in that moment. We still don't really argue very often. I'd say it's happened twice in the 5 years that we've been together. So, you know, it's such a good feeling when you know that God's blessed you with a partner, you're able to just overlook so many flaws and love covers a multitude of, you know, pains in the butt. I love that song. And so you might see that I actually had a remix as well, which was kind of fun. I was just really trying to get something else out and do some new collaborative stuff. But it's just, yeah, it's a happy, fun song. I call that one just kind of bubblegum, right? But it was my truth in the moment and it came from a flow session. So, and I still love my husband and I feel that way very much.
Well, you'll have to play that song back to yourself when you do get angry and you do put him out in the garage.
I think that's a great idea. And today might be a good day to do that.
There's the honesty coming through.
Exactly. Of the two arguments we've had in 4 years, today might be a good day to listen to that song.
I do appreciate and enjoy what you're saying on your latest single, Cool to Be Kind, because right now the world is a nasty place. Is this song trying to counter that?
Yes. I wrote the song in that same studio. Took a little longer, maybe an hour. Funny because there was a little pushback on some of the lyrics. And I was like, no, those are the lyrics. I'm not changing them. But it ties us together. It illuminates that we're all the same. We all have the same hearts beating. We all survive from breathing. We get our energy from eating. We express ourselves with vibrations that we can't even see. But you know, when somebody walks in a room, like they give off a vibration, you know, before they've said anything, if they're in a bad mood or a good mood, like we are more alike than different. And why not just be kind?
Something else that is cool about Cool to Be Kind is that your vocals are in both English and Spanish. Does that mean you're fluent?
I'm not fluent. I'd say I'm 40 to 50% in Spanish. So I can hear. I know somebody's talking about me and I can definitely communicate, but I don't really know tenses very well. So whereas I have been fluent in French, although I'm not well practiced, I have not yet reached that level in Spanish.
So you're a polyglot.
I am. I love languages. I speak just as much Italian as I do Spanish.
There's something that I've been wondering about. You've been making music for years. Has it been worth your while?
That's a great question. Nobody's ever asked me. it's been a common thread. And so there's definitely a part of me that has considered, do I let this dream go? And what does that look like? Or, you know, to what extent, you know, do mm-hmm. I stop pursuing it as something to potentially have success at and just do it as a hobby on the side? I've definitely come to the conclusion that I can't let it go. It's a gift that I've been given and that has brought me so much joy and sometimes healing and through expression. And I think it does carry weight and power in some ways. So it's hard to say because I have not made money with it. You know, I've certainly put in more than I've gotten out. So by that standard, I would say people could certainly judge that it has not been worth my while. However, it led me to the various stages of my life that have created who I am. And if I weren't really just pursuing this dream and trying to figure it all out, I wouldn't be in Miami. I wouldn't have met my husband. I wouldn't be happy right now doing what I'm doing. After COVID, I really shifted my focus to just releasing all those original songs. And then once I released them all, I thought, okay, now I need to make some new songs that are really radio quality and nobody's going to be able to tell me that they're not good enough to go out there, which is what you saw 2021 was that first mood release mm-hmm. and followed by two or three songs a year and a video every year. And it's a lot of work and it's a big project. And I'm definitely building the back catalog that I do hope and expect will have some traction one day, hopefully even in commercial sync licensing or something like that. But it's been fuel for my passion and for what I like to do. And I don't have anything else yet in life that has called me louder or that has been like, yeah, let's put the music on hold and do this. Outside of my relationship itself, I really do put our family and what we do and even our family business before the music. So I already kind of feel bad that it's always on the back burner, but I can't right now imagine anything else I'd rather be doing.
Good for you. And I hope you keep up with it. I'm sure that the listeners to The Antidote will want to find all your music, but you know, they have to look for you the right way. Maybe you should tell everybody how to spell your artist name.
Yes. So, and the reason that it's spelled that way, it's four letters because there are a million Ashleys, right? So it's A-Z as in zebra, S-H, A-Z-S-H. So if you look that up, you will find me. You'll find me on Spotify or Apple or YouTube or wherever you do your streaming. There are a few videos on YouTube, so that's always fun if you're into that. And then I have This Is Ash playlists on Spotify and Apple as well.
Ash, I want to thank you so much for coming for this talk with The Antidote and best of luck with whatever's coming next.
Thank you, Dave. I really appreciate the chat.